Hello, this is Pastor Becca Bateman of Doylestown Presbyterian Church. As our podcast audience continues to grow, I want to thank our loyal listeners and welcome those who may have just recently found us. We know that life can quickly become so busy, so this podcast offers an on-the-go opportunity to hear Sunday's sermon, along with a scripture lesson from that day's lay leader or preacher. We also encourage you to visit our website at dtownpc.org to learn more about our church and all the diverse ministries. Thank you for tuning in.
Our New Testament lesson comes from selections from Luke's Gospel from the third chapter. The part that I'm going to skip over happens to be 75 names. They're hard to pronounce, and I didn't want to put you asleep immediately. You can read through this whole genealogy when you go home this evening. There's a difference between Luke's genealogy and the one we find in Matthew. In Matthew, because he's more interested in the messianic hope, starts with David and moves forward. With Luke wants to show that Jesus goes all the way back to the beginning of creation, a way of showing that he is part of our own humanity. And so I'll read just the beginning and then the end of this line of names that go from Jesus back to God. Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his work. He was the son of Joseph. Son of Enos, son of Seth, son of Adam, son of God. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, please. Gracious God, as we heard this morning the word of the beginning of our own lives, of all of creation, we are part of your story. And so help us during this time to understand how important each one of us is to the story. And so we ask that, as always, you quiet in us every voice but your own. Amen. I don't know how many of you enjoy crossword puzzle books. I enjoy them. I'm not very good at them. I stay away from the one in the New York Times. I buy the ones in the drugstore that say easy on the bottom. Often I find myself peeking in the back where they give you the answer to the clue. A few summers ago, while we were at the beach, we call it the beach in the South, I was doing a crossword puzzle, and it said, Adam and Eve's son. And I thought, I know this one. This is really easy. So I started to write Cain, but it didn't fit. So I said, oh, it has to be Abel. But then it didn't fit. So being the biblical scholar that I am, I turned to the back to find the answer to the question. And there it was, Seth. And I said, gosh, I knew that, but I forgot all about Seth. Most of us don't remember Seth at all. And in many ways, that's the story of his life. Overlooked, unnoticed, and forgotten. The story of his life. The Bible doesn't give us much to go on when it comes to Seth. There are just a couple of obscure facts that we can glean. The one we find in Genesis, where the Bible says, and Adam and Eve had a third son, and they named him Seth. And then in that long genealogy in Luke, where it goes from Jesus to Enos to Seth to Adam and Eve to God. Not much to chew on if you're a preacher. Unless, of course, you're someone like David H.C. Reed, who was at Madison Avenue in New York City, or Bob Holland, who was at Shadyside. I got to know both of them, and I tip my hat to them for helping me understand some insights. Seth, the name of the one we overlook. So let's go back to the beginning for just a moment. And you remember in Sunday school, you were taught Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. But then you know that things went bad, that they turned amok. Interestingly, it might have happened right after worship in the church parking lot. The scripture says that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and he took his life. Now, all of us wish that would have been the end of it. That never again God would watch and see a brother or sister take the life of another brother or sister. All of us wish it would have ended there. But all you have to do is look at the evening news, and you know it did not. And so the Bible allows us to glimpse at this family, this first family of the Bible. Cain and Abel. Some think, like John Calvin, that they were twins, but the Bible doesn't say. But I like to think that they were good looking. I like to think they were tall. I like to think they were bright and athletic. I like to think that they were everything you would ever hope in a child, that their lives were full of promise. Every good parent, when they hold their child in their arms, hopes and dreams for all that could be good and wonderful in their lives. We all hope for a life full of promise. Unfortunately, it didn't happen with Cain and Abel. I don't know what hopes God had for each one of them, but I'm sure he had good hopes, just as he has dreams for you and me. I believe he has a lot of hope in us, and he sees a lot of promise in each one of us. But that came to an end. The hope and promise that he had for Cain died the day he took his brother's life. The hopes and dreams that he had for Abel died the day he died. But then, as Bob Holland notes, God started all over again. He started with a new beginning. He started with some new dreams and some new hopes, and he placed them all in Seth. Seth, the third child of Adam and Eve, was now the one that God hoped and dreamed would be the place that his hope and dream for this world would come true. Seth, forgotten, unnoticed, ordinary. Cain and Abel make the headlines. Seth goes unnoticed. But God had put all of his hope in Seth. Just as he does with each one of you. Have you ever looked at your life that way? That your life is about something big, something grand and holy and sacred. Do you ever look at your life and believe that God has placed promises and dreams and hopes in you? And that's what God does. You see, God's promises will always be fulfilled, whether we're part of them or not. He makes his promise continue. And so they had a third son, and they called him Seth. Good old Seth. I like Seth, because he's a lot like most of us. Nothing spectacular, ordinary, everyday Seth, going about his life with the hopes of God within him. That's what God does. He places his hope in people like Seth and you. And Mary. I wondered if I had told you the story of Mary before. Apparently, I asked the staff and they couldn't remember, but I'm not sure they remember much of what's in my sermons. I didn't even remember. But after the first service, a number of folks said, no, we didn't know about Mary. I met Mary some years back. We were getting ready to move from our home in Charlotte to Princeton. The movers were coming that day, and we had a few personal items that we wanted to wrap and take in the car just to keep them safe. And so my wife said to me, Tom, we're out of packing tape. You need to run to Target and get some. And I said, sure. At which point my daughter said, Dad, can I come along? I remember rolling my eyes and said, Sarah, this is not a shopping trip. I am in a hurry. We're going to Target. I'm getting tape, and we're coming right back home. But I would love to have you come with me. And so she did. And we got to Target. I ran and grabbed the tape. And then I stopped and looked at all the lines. Do you know where the cashiers are? I wanted to spot the shortest and the fastest line. You ever do that? You just look around, who's really moving? Well, I think I did share with you before. When I go through that express line, 10 items or less, I count the items in the basket of the person who's ahead of me. I am not proud of that, but for the life of me, I cannot understand it says 10 items or less. Well, that day, that lane was closed. So I looked around and I saw one lane that was really moving quickly. There was looked like a veteran cashier. She was as fast as lightning. And I noticed behind her one of the line was starting to back up. And so I said, Sarah, let's hurry up and let's get in line 3, which we did. And I looked and saw again that other line backing up. And I said, Sarah, you can learn much from your father. He knows how to pick a line at Target. Well, her name was Mary. She had that tag that said Mary. And as soon as we got there, I heard this voice, a voice that was cracking. And I heard this voice say, Mary, 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 can you please help me? And I looked and I saw that it was a young woman at the cashier in the line that was all backed up. You could see the panic in her face and tears rolling down her eyes. Mary, Mary, can you please help me? And just as we were about to pay for our item, Mary said, excuse me, please. And she quietly went to the other line. And quickly, she had fixed whatever went wrong on that cashier's register. And you could just see in that young face how the stress was gone and she was no longer embarrassed. And Mary came back and my daughter said, Mary, that was so nice of what you just did. That was wonderful. And Mary thanked her. And Mary went on to say, this is her first day. And the poor thing is scared to death. And Sarah said, well, Mary, you must be the grandmother of all cashiers. And she said, no, honey. Everyone in the South is, honey. No, honey, I'm not a grandmother yet, but I am a child of God. And that frightened new employees is a child of God. And Sarah said, my dad's a preacher. At which point, I realized we would never leave Target again. And Mary looked at us, and she looked at my daughter. And she said, honey, then your daddy know. What good is it to be a child of God if you can't take time to help another child of God? She said, every day, I just try to bring a little bit of Jesus wherever I go. Mary, a cashier, probably no one notices, but God had placed within her his dream and his hope. And that's what God does. He places his dream and his hope in someone just like Seth and someone just like Mary and someone just like you. Amen and amen.
Thank you again for joining us today. Once again, I invite you to check out dtownpc.org for information about our worship and programming for all ages.